Hi, if you don't know me, I'm Sarah. I help organise the kids ministry program at our church here. And I'll be sharing a bit of God's word with you today. So I really like the song that Riley did with us, Acts 1:8. If we can get that up. Thanks, Katie. So Acts 1:8, I think this really sums up what I want to speak about today. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Now that's where the song stops, because Riley's not that great to try and jazz up in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's a little bit tricky. So we sort of left that out when we learnt the Bible verse. But this kind of sums up what we've been doing in May Mission Month. We've been talking about the concentric circles of our lives and how we can actually share Jesus in each of those aspects. So the outer concentric circle, the rest of the world, Tony talked about that, about being, you know, on mission to the ends of the earth, and we've heard from different missionaries about what they're doing in the farthest reaches of our globe, about sharing Jesus. And then the next sort of inner concentric circle, Judea and Samaria. So Judea was like the area of where the Jewish people lived. So people who sort of acted like them, had the same culture as them. And then out of that was Samaria, and that was a little bit different in culture. They didn't quite connect, they didn't quite believe the same things. There was a bit of a jarring of cultures, and they didn't particularly like them. And I guess Riley and Tony talked about that, those two circles, in sharing how we can share our faith in our communities and in our workplaces. I think there's probably people you connect with in both of those spheres that are both similar to you in culture and you connect with, and also those you don't necessarily click with, and maybe their own personal culture is quite jarring with yours, but people in both those circles also need Jesus. So then now we come into the smallest part of the concentric circle, our Jerusalems. And that for me, I think, is our families, the people closest to us. So that's what I'm going to be speaking about today, mission and family. So in relation to family, I think there's also three concentric circles too. There's our inner nuclear family, about parents sharing faith with kids. Then there's sort of the next extended family, whereas, you know, we can, our people who we live with and or maybe see on special occasions. And then the next concentric circle, I think, is actually our church family of faith. Ah, family's tricky, isn't it? Just being part of a family is not necessarily simple. It's quite complex. There's so much joy and intimacy to be had in being known and knowing people, but and also of seeing yourself reflected in those people, both the good things and the not so amazing bits. The fact that we are who we are, not in isolation, but we are who we are because of who we all are. That identifying and seeing ourselves in the whole of our group, of our family, our unit. But with the next level joy of having family, there's also next level pain and hurt. The closer we are to someone, what they do to us and what we do to them has such ability to hurt and to scar. So being on mission to family can actually have both of those extremes as well, can't it? The utter joys and the utter lows and pains. So we've been talking about mission all this month, but if you haven't been here or you've been vaguing out, what is mission? I looked it up in the dictionary, and the dictionary says that mission is a specific task. So what's God's mission? Well, he created people to join him in perfect relationship. Well, Tony talked about the Trinity. That's like the ongoing, continuous, always and forever, perfect relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God said, yeah, I want to create people to actually join us in that relationship. So he did. But we fractured that perfect flourishing and wholeness of the world when people sinned. We chose to pull away from that close relationship. And this brokenness doesn't only affect our relationship with God, but also it fractures and breaks our relationships with others. And also with the world around us. So God's mission, his specific task from that point onwards, was to bring people, the people he created, back to himself, back into a perfect, flourishing wholeness. That's God's mission. And that's what Jesus did. But we can sometimes get into the headspace of thinking that Jesus' sole job was to come and die, to be the rescuer. But I don't think that's the whole picture, because if that was the case, I reckon the story would start on the hill with the crosses. You know, suddenly Jesus would land in place and go, right, I'm here, and they go, arrest him, and that's where the story would start. But it didn't happen like that, did it? Jesus came as a baby, as a human. And he did a human life. He did all the awkward bits of growing up and doing family. He even didn't always see eye to eye with his parents. And you know what? He did it perfectly. So when we get to know Jesus through the pages of the Bible, we actually get to know how to do life well. How to bring connection and reconciliation and wholeness to our families and our lives closest to us. And this is what Tony means when he was talking about that big word, incarnation. Jesus became one of us. He totally gets us. He totally understands who we are. And so we have this example of how to be a whole and flourishing human being and how to have whole and flourishing human relationships. He was like the first step-by-step how-to video, eons before YouTube. But God's mission wasn't actually just to show us how to do life. It would actually be a really cruel joke if that was it. Because we're broken and we can't possibly do that. No more than me watching and then practicing a YouTube video on how to sing would make me Pavarotti. It's actually impossible. It's not within me to be that. So that's where the other big word we've been talking about that Tony's been using, redemption, comes in. Jesus redeemed us by dying on the cross. In doing so, he repaired our connection with God. He brought us the actual ability to have wholeness and flourishing relationships again. So he showed us how to live, and then he made it possible to achieve it. Incarnation and redemption. So let's start looking at what that looks like actually in family, in the in the inner circle of family, the nuclear family. Parents sharing faith with children. Now, I'm totally aware that I'm still in the throes of doing this, but let's give it a go. Next slide, Katie. So most of you probably know this verse. Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I wonder how this verse sits with you. Does it, as a parent, if you're a parent today, does it challenge you to do better? Maybe it makes you feel overwhelmed. Maybe it brings feelings of guilt or not being good enough because you've got kids who have grown up and haven't turned out the way you thought they would. Well, today I'd like to remind you that this verse is a proverb. It ain't a promise. It's a proverb that speaks of a general principle, like you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's not a promise. It's not saying that if you teach your child about being a Christian well enough, then they will continue to have faith as an adult. And that you, therefore, would have done a good job. You see, we know that God gives us free will as humans. And that each person, kids included, need to make their own faith journey. And we cannot, by sheer effort, ensure that our children will take on our faith. There's no perfect model, there's no perfect strategy. To me, that's a relief. Rather, this verse is about habits and skills training. It's a reminder to parents that what happens at home cements lifelong ways of doing things, lifelong values, both positive and negative, or destructive. Start when people are little. I'm sure there's some rituals or habits you do now that you do purely because you did them at home when you were younger. Saturday night football, watching anyone? Some Bible commentators also take this to mean that we're to teach children in line with their individual temperaments and bents, individualizing the way we do things for each of our children. So I think there's some good things that we can take away from this verse that sometimes gets shoved in our faces about sharing faith with kids. The first one is that godly habits and rhythms of faith are good. Kids will pick up at home in the home environment. And it's a good thing to get in the habit of reading the Bible with our kids. And a really good thing to chat to God with them, to pray with them to God. It's a good thing to come and meet on Sundays with other Christians and be encouraged and share our faith together. These are great things. And maybe it's really good to start thinking about what we're unspeakingly sharing and passing on to our kids with what we spend time doing, what we put emphasis on in our families, how we use our time, how we prioritize, what we speak most about. It's also, I think, a reminder that how we convey our faith to each of our children may look different depending on the temperaments and the personalities of our kids. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And that's the amazing and tricky job of being a parent. But it's not just about teaching habits and disciplines. We actually need to speak to our kids about faith. Just like sharing the gospel with anyone we've talked about this month. Now, there's an important point to note here. Kids are amazing at sniffing out fake. You might think you've got them fooled, but chances are they're just not telling you that they know you're bluffing. The big point is that you can really only share out of what you've experienced yourself. Jesus asks us in Acts 1:8 to be his witnesses. To be a witness, you have to experience something personally. We're going to check out this video of someone on a news report. That woman experienced something. And I am pretty sure that the way the news reporter across town sitting at his news desk would have reported that in a very different way. And I'm pretty sure that the fireman or the fire investigator afterwards would probably give you a very factual account of what happened. But this woman who was experienced and in the middle of it, she witnessed to what she had experienced in her own unique way. Certainly less polished, but real. So can I encourage you all to be a witness for Jesus, to spend time with him, to allow his life and his death to have an impact on your life, and then from that, to naturally let them closest to you know, in the way that's most natural and most like you, to tell them about what you're experiencing with Jesus in all its unpolished glory. Next thing I was thinking about with this, I think it's a lot better to explore faith with our kids rather than to teach. It's easy to think that our job as parents is to verbally download everything that we know and have experienced and the things we've worked through, the hard knocks, to our kids to set them up for life. But in the area of faith, we're actually not at the final stage of completion, are we? We're both students of the Holy Spirit. We need to be curious about God together. Hey, let's find out what God thinks about this subject. Oh, look, that was an answer to prayer. Let's thank God. Do that together. Be co-journeyers together, even though you're the parent and they're the child. And all of that I've just said rings true as we move, to the next tier of family. I get it that many of you in this room actually aren't active parents at this stage. Maybe you're too young to have had kids. Maybe you've got kids that have grown up and gone. Maybe you've never been a parent. But the next sphere I think we're all a part of. Most of us are situated within wider families. You've got grown-up children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, mums, dads, aunties, uncles. And we can live out and speak the good news of Jesus to them. Or even we've got people who are really close to us, who aren't genetically connected to us, that act as family for you. So talking about faith to family in this sphere can have a distinct flavour of complexity. We are intertwined with these people. There's no dropping a truth bomb and skidding out of there. I think Riley actually summed it up really well the other week when he spoke about God on mission in the community. He took some principles from Jesus' life, and since being close to Jesus and following his lead is what we're all about, I thought I'd actually share them again. It's no use reinventing the wheel. So the point he said was we're to have the compassion and the prayer life of Jesus. I'm not going to go through Mark 9:35 again, but if you have time, go home this afternoon and give that passage a read. You see, whenever Jesus went, he had compassion on people. He healed people. He spoke words of comfort to them. And we're called to continue Jesus' work of compassion, reconciliation, to be bringers of peace, to be bringers of comfort and compassion. But to couple with that, Jesus would go off and pray. It was a key part of how he would continue doing what he does. And it needs to be a key part of us in sharing our love of Jesus with people in our family. So I want to encourage you to set aside time to pray for those closest to us. Pray before griping. Yes, Leon, I give you full permission to remind me of that before I speak about my family or your family in unhelpful ways. Ask the Holy Spirit how you can love your family and ask him to work in their hearts. The next point is that Riley talked about, which I really found so helpful, was to we live questionable lives and have gracious answers, just like Jesus and his followers. And as Riley said, that questionable lives isn't actually doing things dodgy, but actually living lives that bring up questions for people. By being in contact and close relationship with Jesus, living in a way he did will actually go against a lot of what our culture and the people around us do. And that will bring up questions for people. That will bring up questions for people in your family. And to live those lives that bring up questions, but not just, you know, when they ask questions, go, and, you know, go off, but actually be ready with gracious answers. Gosh, it's easy to be harsh and short with our family, isn't it? But to be gracious when we talk to them. Be prepared to give reasons for what you do, the way you live, with gentleness and grace. So now these four things are not easy because there's a lot of hurt within families, and my family included. A couple of my brothers are actually really pushing away from my mum and dad and the faith they were brought up with, and it's caused so much heartache and strain in our family, and we don't know what the future looks like for that. But I know what I can do, and I can keep on being close to my Jesus and loving and sharing in the way I can. And the how we do this, I think we go back to our original verse from Acts 1:8. How does it start? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's it. We're not alone doing this, watching example of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit within us that gives us power. All the powers. The power to be gracious, the power to be kind, the power to have courage to speak, the power of the wisdom to know when not to speak, sometimes the power to be silent. He has all the power we need, the power actually to be the one who brings healing and from hurt in our families. So that really sums up for me what it is to be on mission to family, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, that we stick close to Jesus so we can be his witnesses. And then from there, we start with our family and we go to the ends of the earth. But there's one more concentric circle that I haven't talked about yet, and that is to our church family. You may not have great relationships with your own families, or you may do, but there's this extra family we're a part of, this really beautiful, tight-knit family. And we can be part of actually sharing our faith and growing together with those around us. And I guess with that, I wanted to ask, who are you nurturing spiritually within our church family? There's a great image that I talk about every now and then. It's an image of a brick wall. And if you consider yourself the yellow brick in the middle, there's actually quite a few bricks connected to you, and you could pick any brick on a brick wall and then see how it actually interconnects with the whole entire wall. And it's a great way of seeing how we can actually be giving and receiving as a church family. So the two bricks above are people who can actually be speaking into your life, to be encouraging you in faith, witnessing what they've experienced from Jesus to you, and building you up, and having someone who may have been in the faith a bit longer than you. And then you've got two on the side, which are peers, people who are at the same stage of life as you that you can walk with and communicate with and share the burdens of where you're at. And then underneath there's two bricks touching as well, which are people who we can actually speak into. That may be for many of us who are parents, might be our actual own kids, but maybe for you, it could be someone else in our church family. And I just think it's a really nice visual to show how we're all interconnected. And how even though you might not have kids, or you might not have people young in the faith, or ones who don't know faith around you, that you can actually be speaking in a deep way to someone else within our church family to build them up, or even to bring them to faith. So I'd love you to actually ask God if it's who he would like you to be speaking into. Or also, ask if there's someone to speak into your life as well. I'd love to finish by praying for us here. This is a tricky topic and it's close to our hearts, and I would really encourage you to go home this afternoon and just talk to God about it. What family looks like for you, what sharing the amazing gift of what you know about Jesus to others. So let's just pray now. Jesus, we thank you so much that you showed us how to live life and that you actually made it possible to live a life of wholeness and of flourishing and of good relationships. But we also admit and acknowledge that we're not in heaven yet. We're not in the new earth, and it's still a huge struggle. I ask that you be with each person here and help them just to spend time with you and to walk in line with you and to follow you and become more like you. So they naturally have something to excitedly tell others about from their own perspective. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you come now afresh and bring a new sense of power to each individual here in the way that they need your encouragement and your power to be bold or to be kind, to be gracious, to be wise. Father God, we thank you that you know us so well that you place us in big families. You place us within our church family too. And I ask for our church family here at Victor Baptist that you will draw us closer and closer together, that we won't be like a vague extended family that meets for Christmases, but we will be a family that lives in each other's pockets, who knows each other deeply and loves deeply, that encourages and builds up. Father, I ask you to speak to people about who they can speak into and who can speak into their lives in turn, that we may be connected, that together we can be something strong and beautiful for you. We thank you that we're not on some random mission ourselves, but we are just joining you in your mission. And that is both exciting and scary, but we know that we're not alone, and we know that we're walking with you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Thanks.
Sarah, and thanks for your vulnerability as a parent, as a fellow parent. None of us are perfect, and as Cher has shared us what it is to parent our families, close and those that are extended, and what it is to do family together here. As we bring this series to a wrap up, I just wanted us to consider a few things before we finish. And we started with the idea that before we consider what it is to support missions somewhere else, we must understand what it is to be committed to missionaries in our own land, in our own communities, and in our own families. So most times we go somewhere else, but there's somewhere that we started, our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. So we looked at mission in the church, we looked at mission and work, mission and community, mission in the world, and mission and family. Those five things. That sounds busy, doesn't it? But what it is, it describes to us the missional heart of God. And we framed it out of the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, Jesus. And that other text that talks about Christ's love compels us. I try really hard not to use the word should, because should is guilt-inducing. And Riley talked about not being guilt-motivated when it comes to mission. Instead, it's love-motivated. As Sarah shared with us, to know of that journey with Jesus and being filled with His Holy Spirit, it will be love that compels us to be the people of God in the mission in the church, in the workplace, in the community, and in the world, and our families. So that's our value, is to follow Jesus and to fulfill His mission. And so as we seek to do that, before we wrap it up today and we'll close out, then we'll come into our other meetings. If you're staying for that, you'd be very welcome to, because so much of that is about what it is for us to do mission. So here's some things for you to think about. When mission is a core value, how does that impact my prayer life? What would that do? We mentioned this morning about Reese and Rhonda Hall reading their prayer letter, being informed and knowing how to pray for what takes place over there. We've had Sarah share with us this morning, or challenges us, not just about how to speak into somebody else's life, but for me the challenge is listen to somebody else's life. What is going on in somebody else's life that I'm connected enough to, that I can actually listen and hear and pray? What about my time? I say, you know, it's a funny thing is sometimes when I talk to retired people, I say, "How are you doing?" "I'm really busy." I say, "Why would I want to retire? You know, I can work and be busy. I don't want to retire and be busy." It becomes that sort of word that we use. You know, where do we invest our time when it comes to mission, whether in relation to the church and work and community and world and family? Because this is our core value. The other one is in our finances and our resources. Because if this is a core value, then it crosses across all of these areas of our lives, our spiritual gifts. You know, one of the things I value, particularly in the last nearly 12 months, is that so many folk have kicked in on another level in what takes place here. There's a whole team of people that are here Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, week in, week out. Why? Because they're committed to mission. And our worship begins at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Well, for us, it's actually probably before, as we prepare our heart before we get here. But there's a whole level of what it is to follow Jesus and fulfill His mission. Well, for some, that means, okay, Sunday morning, I can move furniture or learn how to work a sound desk or stand out in a car park with a fluoro jacket on. Why? Because I'm committed to mission and family here. And then around relationships. So these are the five things that I want you to take away. You might want to write them down, get your phones out, make a list of them and say, okay, to what extent is mission a core value for me? And then sort of put it through that grid of these five areas: prayer, time, finances, spiritual gifts, and relationships. And then you'll be able to work out whether or not that's a core value that actually impacts your life, or whether it's just something that we talk about. That's challenging for me. It's challenging for us as we seek to lead the church together, that we might together be on mission with God. Amen. Thanks for the journey. Riley, come wrap up.